My name is Father Paul Herrick. I'm the chaplain and director at St. Thomas More Catholic Student Center in Pullman, Washington. And I'm from the Diocese of Spokane. I'm also proud to have Father Joe with Montana State for these next week to share in the beautiful mission of the Mercy Missionaries. God is about doing a great thing here in this parish. I can only say from many of the students that I've worked with who are from the Vancouver area, they said, Father, you have to get down to Portland, see what God's doing downtown Portland. And I'm here to say God is doing great things in Portland. I haven't been here for almost 20-some years, and to see, you only hear nowadays the struggles of Portland, but boy, I've seen the beauty of God's mercy. And the question I have for us as we break open this book that you guys have been going through on the unbound is, where are you unbound? Where in your life have you found the freedom of God in your life? Where have you experienced, as John 10:10 says, that I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly? Where have you found freedom? So why don't we just ask ourselves, where we found freedom? I'll give you a half a second. Okay, good. Now, where have you not found freedom? We don't focus on enough where and what God has done in our life. Amen? Amen? We don't find the joy of the Lord in what God has done in this season of Lent. We are supposed to look deeply in our lives, but I think we as a society and we as a people are so determined to find our faults and what we haven't done right or wrong. And one of the beauties of being on the streets this afternoon and working with one of my students, Josh, who I'm so proud of, pouring coffee to people, the young men and the young women who found themselves on the streets, were so gracious, so gracious. And we tend to forget that in the midst of their own deep poverty, we forget our own poverty, amen? We work so hard at trying to be perfect and pretty and beautiful and successful. And what about me-ism that we forget that we have been given all authority here in heaven and on earth to be what? The best version of ourselves. I work with the football team at WSU, I'm the chaplain, and the coaches are always talking about be the best version of yourself. And I say, you know, the best version of yourself will never be how much you weight lift and how many touchdowns you get. It's like the best version of yourself is when you really know yourself, is when you know who you are and who you were created to be, for God so loved the world that he gave and he gave and he gave. Hi, you want some coffee? Yeah, thanks. I'm Father Paul. What's your name? Josh. Hey, thank you so much. You know, what they could give was a thank you. And we tend to forget that as a people, that God doesn't ask for extraordinary amounts of ourselves. He just asks of our poverty. And when we learn to understand that the very core of who we were created to be was beloved son and beloved daughters, then we can live in the freedom, even in our worst moments. And how many of us live in the points of shame in our life? Shame says, I'm bad, I'm dirty, I'm ugly, I'm perverted, I'm not enough, and I will never be what God has really, truly created me to be. And in this fourth chapter of Unbound, I take authority in Jesus' name. I'm going to power through this. I promise you will be only 45 minutes. Deep breathing. They don't have anything to do. They don't have anything to do, so what the heck? It's Monday tomorrow, and you can say the priest talked too long, but I'm going to just try to highlight some things that Neil Lozano was talking about, and we have to come at it from the standpoint, only God knows the depths of a person. Only God knows. I don't know. I don't know you. What's your name? Leah, I don't know you. But you know what we have in common? Is that you're my sister in Christ. Amen. That's all I know about you. I may never see you again. But I'm your brother in Christ. But we are very tired to realize that only God knows the depths of a person. When we quit judging each other, only God knows who you are and what I am. Isn't it terrible to be judged by people? I know all about you. You know nothing about me. You know nothing about me. All of those things must be true in part. The great anointing, as Neil Lozano says, and the more authority the person praying has received, the faster the power of the enemy is to expose and broken. God desires. See, the battle belongs to who? The Lord. It's not our battle. He won. We have to get in right alignment with the God of the universe. But we have to understand our authority. I take authority in the name of Jesus. Authority is the power to act on behalf of somebody else. It is something that belongs to another. We carry the power because it has been given to us. See, us three priests, it's not my authority. See? Guy with the big hat, big stick. Remember that? That's the authority. You know, where'd he get it? From a bigger hat. Bigger stick, you know? And then where did he get his authority? From a stinky fisherman who thought he was this big. He found his authority in Christ. It was passed on through the generations. That's our authority. And we've lost that as a church, and we've lost that as a group of young people. It's me and 300 young people every weekend, and that's it. There's no families. There's no crying babies, which I happen to miss. The collection is lower than ever before. We're canceling donuts because there's no more money for the donuts. And they're like, where's the donuts? Where's my authority? Matthew 8, 5 says, the centurion understood the power of a word spoken by someone under whose? Authority. Jesus had authority as the Son of God. He did not need someone else's name to cast out a demon. They knew when he came present. He knew his authority. And in our baptism, I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. That's our authority, is in our baptismal call. Who we are. In relationship to Jesus has given us authority. During his ministry, Jesus gave authority to the 12, to a group of 72 to cast out demons. It was so great to have all the students come back and the missionaries, and we have about three different sets of missionaries here. And we talked about, we felt so good because, boy, look what we did. We poured coffee. No, it was nothing we did. Our beloved brothers and sisters on the streets gave us the ability. They gave us authority, but they gave it back to us in love and mercy. In relationship, Jesus has given us authority. Only in union with Jesus and his name do we carry authority in the spirit world. Our authority is in our relationship with Christ, our confidence in his love. Let me say that again, and I want you to hear this. Our authority is in our relationship with Christ. Amen? Amen. Are you confident in his love in your life? But Father, you don't know what I did. I don't. Can you rest in your own poverty, of your own broken spirit sometimes? God desires to heal it. Are you in a personal relationship with others who are pursuing their relationship with the Lord? We love in our first world or first giant, I screw that all up, but we love to be individuals, don't we? The best part of coming to what? Here, let us call to mind our sins. It doesn't say, let us call to my sins. It's our sins. I would love in confession, Father, what have you heard? Well, that's none of your business, kid. But please, no, none of your sins are that original. What's most original is when you go to the confessional, Father, forgive me for I have sinned. Tired. You ever just get tired and weary? We can take authority in Jesus' name. We gain more authority as we bring more areas of our lives under his authority. The more you have surrendered, the more you can be an instrument. Amen? It is simply not out of this 1.1 theological mind, because I had C's all through in theology. I couldn't write four words on a piece of paper. I had to have a full-time tutor to get me through seminary. And in seminary, I made a plethora of mistakes. But in God's goodness, he raised this broken man to be a priest. I ran from it because I was terrified to face my own brokenness. I lost my authority and I ran from it, and Jesus Christ, through his mercy and goodness, gave it back to me. So what's the difference between authority and renunciation? I asked Father what his, because they sort of work together. We have to renounce what has what defined us. I'm so dyslexic. I am the most dyslexic person I've ever met. I was so dyslexic, I walked backwards. I had 13 D's in high school, and I started a Letterman's Club for me. It was called D. I'm not kidding. But my mom said to me, you know, honey, when you quit being afraid to learn, you're going to be brilliant. And I still got C's, but I believe they were A's. We have a God who wants to reach down in our hearts and say, you're enough. Today, I got a phone call from one of our coaches, and he's in tears, and he said, Paul, I'm like, coach? He goes, we had a terrible season. I'm just not a good coach. I'm like, huh? He goes, I'm just not enough. I'm like, you're putting all your identity into an 18-year-old? He goes, isn't that a sad reality? I'm like, amen, brother. So I want you to focus on Psalm 139. So if you don't like yourself today, your penance is to go read Psalm 139 10 times and see what God has to say about you. Because we have to reclaim our identity as beloveds. And when we take that identity, the evil one comes to what? In John 10:10, he might come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. But the first verse, it says, I've come that the evil one's come to kill, destroy, and slaughter. And if he can steal your joy and your hope, he's won. Amen? But as beloved sons and daughters of God, he desires us to speak into our life. We have to claim this. So in this book on how we deal with our authority, it's a word of command. We say something like this, in the name of Jesus, I break the power of every spirit that I have renounced and I command them to leave now. In the name of Jesus Christ, I break the power that this priest is dumb. And I believe in Jesus' name that it's supposed to leave now. I live that lie all my life. And the question I propose to you tonight, my young brothers and sisters, actually, I always say young because everyone's young, you old and young alike. What lie have you lived all your life with? That's the second question. See, when I began to come to grips with that in my life, I began to find freedom because I just thought I was dumb. But when I finally began to believe that God's given me some gifts in other areas, and maybe it wasn't writing or reading or whatever, maybe I could be a vessel of his mercy and love. For the last 10 years, I've been honored to work with college students. I love my young students because I love what God does in them and how God can change their life because of their what? Their fiat, their yes, all those fancy words. Huh? So I want to do something with you, and I got permission from the big cheese over here. How many of you want to just deal with stuff in your life and deal with it and get healed up tonight? So you're gonna experience the Eucharist, and he's going to go, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. That is not a cookie. It's not a hunk of bread. Isn't it a wafer? It's Jesus Christ. And if he is truly who he says he is, our only response is to crawl on our bellies to receive him. And that would take way too long. So what do? We do the best we can, the body of Christ, And we say amen because we believe it. And if we believe it, then we leave here, something changed. And most of us don't leave changed. We go back just the way we came in. Monday morning shall look different. Monday morning in school or in the workplace or in your families or with your wives or your children or grandchildren, your life should be different. So let's deal with that. We're going to do some renunciation. We're going to do two areas. One area is the area of fear, which is simply the epidemic of our country. We're living in fear. Who will be the next president? Who cares? Well, I do care. But in the big scheme of things, who cares? So let's deal with this. The coaches always say, sit up. So I'm going to invite everyone to sit up in their chair. Please close your eyes. I see you if your eyes aren't closed. I want you to think about those things in your life that you're most afraid of. Holy Spirit, I just invite you to come. Let your kingdom fall in this church. St. Michael, we pray right now for your intercession. Repeat after me out loud. In the name of Jesus Christ, I renounce the lie that if I trust, I will be hurt, disappointed, or die. In the name of Jesus, I renounce all fear, anxiety, mistrust, and distrust. In the name of Jesus, I renounce all fear, all anxiety, mistrust, and distrust. I renounce the lie that I am not safe and not protected. I announce the truth that God is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my protector. I announce the truth that God's perfect love cast out all fear. Let's say it again and a little louder. I announce the truth that God's perfect love cast out all fear. I announce the truth that I am safe and secure. Shh. Now receive it. Father, now bless them. Bless them. Pour your Holy Spirit upon them, Lord. Give them more. What accompanies fear is always shame. It's the number one work of the evil one, is shame. What happened in confessional didn't work. Your sin's too deep. Our last one. Together we say, in the name of Jesus Christ, I renounce the lie that I am bad, dirty, ugly, stupid, worthless. And in Jesus' name, I announce the truth that Jesus died for my sins and I am forgiven, washed, cleansed, justified, and accepted. I announce the truth that Jesus did not come to condemn me. Let's say that again. I announce the truth that Jesus did not come to condemn me, but to save me. I announce the truth that in the sacrament of reconciliation, I am forgiven and set free. I announce the truth that I am pure, worthy, not because what I have done, but because of what Jesus has done for me. Amen.